I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection. Haiti's former president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, once campaigned on the slogan of peace in the mind, peace in the belly. This morning, neither he nor his people have either. Aristide is in the Central African Republic on his way into exile. His country is in chaos. The weekend ended with continued reports of looting, arson, and gunfire in the capital city, Port-au-Prince. Late last night, diplomats met at the United Nations, where they agreed unanimously to back an international peacekeeping force.
We are standing by them in their hour of need, and that the international community will do whatever it can to help stabilize the situation. I know some of them may think that it's a bit late, but it's always better than never.
At this hour, there are French and Canadian soldiers and American Marines in Haiti. President Bush and others are calling for an end to the violence.
This is the beginning of a new chapter in the country's history. I would urge the people of Haiti to reject violence, to give this break from the past a chance to work.
This hour on The Connection, what is it going to take? What does Haiti need now, either from its own people or from the international community, that it didn't get 10 years ago when Aristide was helped back into power? What kind of future do you see for democracy in Haiti? Our number's 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I spoke with Kathy Claritch, a longtime resident of Haiti and a reporter and columnist for the Christian Science Monitor and Time magazine. I talked to her just a few minutes ago and asked her to describe the situation in Port-au-Prince today.
It's pretty quiet this morning. I think people are sort of waiting to see how the day unfolds before they go out. Businesses have really been closed for almost 2 weeks. First week was Carnival, and then last week was just absolute chaos. I know that there are some cars circulating, but basically the morning has been very quiet, and schools did not open as they were scheduled to.
Kathy, you have lived in Haiti for nearly 10 years. You probably know that country better than most reporters there. Had you ever seen anything like the weekend that just passed?
I was here in the late 80s to the late 90s, and what I saw last week paralleled some of the worst things that I had seen during the period that I lived here under the military coup. It was extremely scary to go out on the streets. There were roadblocks. There were random shootings. People were really living on the edge last week, and although it's sort of ironic that the military, which used to instill terror on people, have come in as the sort of the saviors and the liberators. It'll be very interesting to see how this all unfolds.
Well, where are we right now? Are the rebels and the Aristide loyalists still shooting at each other? Is there any kind of accord? What can you tell us?
Well, the Aristide loyalists, these gangs that they were calling the Chimere, seem to have gone back into the woodwork. The looting that we saw yesterday, I think, was just opportunistic. The strange alliance are the security forces for Aristide, the organized security forces, the police, the SWAT team, his special security teams, who have now lined up with the rebels. They're calling themselves the liberators from the north, who took over many towns up there, and former military officers.
And are you seeing any signs of the international force, which we are reading is in or close to Port-au-Prince now, the French, the Canadians, and the Americans?
I have not personally, although I have spoken to people who have seen the U.S., that they have come in.
And Kathy, the people that you're talking to there, when you do get a chance to go out, are they looking at this moment in some despair?
No, I think that they're looking at it as an opportunity for them to get it right this time. You've got political parties who historically have never worked together. Their sole objective was to get rid of Aristide. I mean, now they're really going to have to step up to the plate and work together. In addition to that, you've got the civil society, the businessmen, the human rights groups, the students, who have also had this singular objective of getting rid of Aristide. And let's see if they can put aside their own differences and their own fiefdoms and work together. I think that is certainly a big question. And then the other one is, what kind of a security force are you going to have that's really going to protect the interests of everyone and not a select group?
So what you would direct our attention to is watching the civil society in a place like Port-au-Prince and whether or not they can get it together and sort of rise above the craziness that's been on the streets.
Absolutely, that's an issue. And then, of course, you've got on the other side what kind of a security force there's going to be.
Kathy, thanks so much for helping us with this today.
You're welcome.
Kathy Klarich is a reporter and columnist for the Christian Science Monitor and Time magazine. I also talked a little earlier with Charles Baker. He's a businessman in Haiti and one of the leaders of the Group of 184. It's one of the many groups that has stood in opposition to President Aristide in recent weeks. And I asked him to describe the economic damage that has come as a result of all the looting.
From what we've just heard, close to about $1 billion worth of damages.
And has the burning, the looting, the rioting stopped? Do you know?
There's not really rioting. It's mostly Lavala supporters that were armed before the departure of Jean-Bertrand Aristide that are ransacking businesses one after the other. Okay, it's not the mass population that's doing this. It's really very chosen. Really, people that are being hit are people of that are supporters of 184. And then it spills over to the other businesses around that.
When the international forces come to Port-au-Prince and come to the other cities, will most Haitians want to work with them?
Right now, since Jean-Bertrand Aristide is gone, they will find a lot of help from the Haitian people. Because right now we have a country to rebuild.
How much is this Haiti's responsibility, not the international community? How much is it up to Haitians to fix what's wrong now?
As far as the financing comes, it has to come from outside. We just do not have the financing to do that. But right now, we're being pressured by the international community to enter into a tripartite commission, which basically we are going to have to honor. But it's going to make things a hell of a lot harder to fix than if we had gone with our own plan. Because, as you know, there's nobody like somebody from home to take care of the problems of home. And every time the international community makes the same mistake, thinking that we cannot do what we need to do, they try to impose things on us. And the fact that we are such a poor nation, a lot of times we have to bend. And every time we have bent, it's meant more disaster for our country.
And so, Mr. Baker, if you were able to give one piece of advice to that international community that thinks it knows better than Haiti what Haiti needs, what would that advice be?
To work with us and not try to force us to do things that they think might be good for the country.
Thanks for your time. Good luck.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
Charles Baker is a businessman in Port-au-Prince and one of the many opposition leaders in that city. I'd like to introduce my guest for the balance of the hour now. John Shattuck was Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor during the Clinton administration. He was also U.S. Ambassador. He is author of Freedom on Fire, Human Rights Wars and the Roots of Terrorism. He's with me in our Boston studio. John, nice to have you back on The Connection.
Nice to be here, Dick.
And Robert Fatton joins us from a studio at the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities. He's a professor and chair of the Woodrow Wilson Department of Politics at the University of Virginia. Mr. Fatton, it's nice to have you with us as well.
Yeah, good morning.
You are Haitian-born, are you not, sir?
Yes, indeed.
Tell me what you're thinking as you're listening to the news from Haiti over the weekend and this morning.
Well, I think the ending of Mr. Aristide's presidency to a large degree is a tragedy, because when he came to power in 1991, the Lavalas movement had received overwhelming support. It was an extremely popular movement. And trouble started really from the very beginning of that movement, insofar as what you've had is a real polarization of the country between the Lavalas movement and the traditional elite. That polarization led, as you know, to the first coup of 1991. When Mr. Aristide returned with the help of the United States in 1994, you had the beginning of the unraveling of the Lavalas coalition, which was composed of all kinds of progressive organizations, progressive political parties. And Mr. Aristide has a lot to account for the disintegration of that movement. The movement broke into different pieces. And by the time Mr. Aristide returned in power in 2000, most of his former supporters of the early 90s were set to undermine him. So when Mr. Aristide was reelected in 2000, the problem for him was how to govern, insofar as he really didn't have the support of the progressive cadres, he didn't have the support of the international community, and he was faced with the determined opposition of the Convergence Démocratique, which eventually became the Democratic Platform allied with the group of 184.
Robert, let me turn to John Shattuck here in the studio. And John, before we get too far into what's happened in the last few weeks, in 1993 and in 1994 and 95, you were playing a key role in restoring Aristide to power, taking the American troops in to give him the assistance that he needed, helping set up the police. What went wrong?
Well, I think the biggest thing that went wrong was that the international community did not make the commitment to Haiti over time that needed to be made. But with respect to what went wrong internally, I think President Aristide made a very serious decision to disband the army, which had been an instrument of repression during all the earlier periods. And that was a heroic decision in many ways, but he did not find an adequate substitute for that. And again, because of opposition in the U.S. Congress and elsewhere, the United States did not follow through on its commitment to provide the kind of long-term training of security forces and establishment of the rule of law in, you know, working together with the Aristide government.
Well, fair to say that under the Bill Clinton was still president, there was too much of a rush to pull out of Haiti, to say, fine, Aristide's in power and he seems to have things under control, let's get out of there.
Yeah, that was true. That was true. But it was not the administration's desire to do that. It was, frankly, the same political forces that are at work in the United States today that have, in large measure, forced out a democratically elected president and allowed to come back in some of the very people who were responsible for the coup at the time that Aristide was pushed out of office in 1991.
Which forces do you mean?
Well, I mean basically the administration that's now been responsible for some of what's happened in the last 48 hours. And, you know, I think the pressures were great, particularly from the Congress, as I say, but and the cutoff of funds and the inability of USAID to do the kind of work that was needed for a long-term period. Aristide, you know, was a very controversial figure in the United States, and he was certainly helped very strongly by President Clinton and his administration, but he had many opponents inside the United States.
And now Jean-Bertrand Aristide is gone. Haiti is in some state of chaos. On this morning, it's still unclear whether or not the looting that marked that country over the weekend will continue. What's next, and what should be next? What did the international community learn from 1994 that it should be applying now? What's the lessons for people in Haiti in terms of trying to organize themselves, their own opposition? Our telephone number is 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio as the former president of Haiti, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, is still in his trip into exile. There are many questions about the future of the country he leaves behind him. Did the United States and the rest of the countries wait too late to either provide him with the support or the condemnation that was required? And will the international community make some of the same mistakes that it clearly made in the weeks and the years past? Some of those questions were put to the U.S. Secretary of State Colin Powell, who was speaking earlier this morning on CNN.
We have tried over the years to help the Haitian people and to help Haitian political leaders, but it just hasn't taken. And we find ourselves in a situation every decade or so, as you noted. We'll try again this time. And I know the international community wants to help the Haitian people. They're desperately in need. But we also have to expect their political leaders to put in place responsive, functioning, non-corrupt governments.
With me in the studio here, Ambassador John Shattuck, former Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights and Labor during the Clinton administration and at the time when Aristide was put back in power. Robert Fatton is also with us. He's a professor and chair of the Woodrow Wilson Department of Politics at the University of Virginia, author of Haiti's Predatory Republic, The Unending Transition to Democracy. Well, Mr. Fatton, talk to me about the unending transition to democracy here. We listened to the Secretary of State saying, look, we're going to try again, but Haiti needs to help. What's missing here?
Well, I think what you have to take into consideration is the domestic situation in the first place, and then link that to the external constellation of power. Domestically, what you have is really what I've termed a zero-sum game, a politics of the belly, as it were. And what I mean by that is that politics is considered by virtually everyone who's not part of the wealthy elite as a business. So you enter politics, whether it's legally or illegally elected or through the force of weapons, you conquer public office, and then you want to keep it because this is where you accumulate illicit resources and you create a clientele. And this is a reflection of the material crisis that has affected Haiti for a very long number of years. So what you have, therefore, is massive scarcity, people using politics to enrich themselves. How do you create institutions that would prevent the development of that appetite is one of the key questions that any new Haitian government will have to confront. And if you look at the departure of Mr. Aristide, the forced departure, you can see that that forced departure is really symptomatic of a much deeper crisis which affects the political system, the economic system, and ultimately the very moral fabric of Haitian society. One of the most, to some extent, sad things that you can find in Haiti is the notion that if you are not corrupt, well, you are an idiot. So that kind of mentality, which really pervades society, is something that has to be rooted out. And so far, looking at the opposition, looking at the new characters that are coming into power, I really don't see much to hope for. The only thing that may happen is that having been on the brink of a civil war, perhaps people will realize that the old political habits have to be abandoned and that a new dispensation has to be put forward. And right, finally... Yeah,
John Shattuck, in 1994, was it 93 or 94 when Aristide was taken back?
94. Yeah.
20,000 soldiers, U.S. Yeah. soldiers, were a part of that. There are, by my count, something like 250 there now. Does that mean that 250 soldiers can do the job that it took 20,000 to do 10 years ago? Do we take that as a sign of progress, or are you concerned about what's going to happen in the weeks ahead?
Well, I'm very concerned about all the regression that seems to be underway. I mean, first of all, you've got to see the kinds of people who have come in and basically taken over. They are thugs and criminals who were responsible for much of the problem of human rights during the period that that Aristide was overthrown. These are the ragtag army forces that have now moved into Port-au-Prince. And I must say there is some responsibility on the part of the United States for allowing them to come and take over, because I think some weeks ago it would have been possible for the international community to intervene with a larger force, but not necessarily 20,000. At the invitation of President Aristide, I think you would have had the negotiated settlement that the U.S. was seeking at that point, to have a power-sharing relationship between Aristide and some of the opposition.
But the opposition kept saying no to anything that would leave Aristide in power. When you look back to 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, when, you know, the opposition held just Gonaïves, or when they were moving into Cap Haïtien, are you saying if the United States, if the international community had moved dramatically at that point, that the situation we see today might have been averted?
Well, I think what would have been averted was the takeover of all of Haiti's cities by these thugs. And that's the challenge that faces the international community today. And the 150 Marines are not going to dislodge the cannibal army, or whatever it's called, from the various Haitian cities, including now Port-au-Prince, we're going to need a much larger force. And then I think the challenge for the international community going forward, way beyond 3 months, is to get to a point where real democratic elections can be held and a continuation of commitment and a flow of assistance to a legitimate government, not this ragtag group of people who've taken over, and not the very divided opposition, which I agree with Mr. Fatton, it really doesn't seem to be providing any kind of leadership for the future.
Mr. Fatton, just before we go to our first call, do you agree with John's characterization of the people in charge now as really just sort of patched together and not likely to win the trust of most Haitians?
Well, I think you have to look at it in a somewhat different way. You have to, I believe, acknowledge the failure of the Aristide administration. There was a lot of corruption in the government. The government had lost a significant amount of popularity. And I think in that, in those conditions, what is happening now is that the armed insurgents are entering Port-au-Prince, and many people will say that they are the liberators. I think this is a short-term issue, because unless you resolve the larger crisis, you're going to have this a similar cycle of coups and counter-coups. And what is also quite depressing is to see that at this time you don't really have a real commitment on the part of the international community to have long-term sustained assistance to Haiti. And if you're going to have any chance for democracy in Haiti, I think one of the first things that has to be done is to make clear to all the parties that the elections would have to be supervised by the international community so that no one will challenge the results and that whatever government comes out of those elections is indeed a legitimate government that will not be undermined by both domestic opposition and the international community.
All right, let's go to Mattapan, Massachusetts. Our first call today from Brumaire, who's on the line from there. Brumaire, thanks for calling.
Thank you. It's Brunier.
Brunier, sorry.
First of all, I'd like to thank the ambassador for his clairvoyance. I think he reads the Haitian situations very clearly. And I'd like to make two comments. First of all, I would like for the Americans that are listening right now to understand that this is an ideological battle that had started with the American Congress and the Clinton administration that's playing out, that finally played out in Haiti, and then Bush Jr., just like he did in Iraq, finished the job for his father. It's a tragedy that a duly elected president of Haiti was removed, really, from power. I don't think Aristide is a saint, and I don't think anybody's saying he is a saint, but I think that Aristide, with his theology of liberation, was totally something that the Republican ideology would not agree with. And when Aristide was first elected president, that was around the same time that the Republican Congress was increasing its, the Republicans were increasing its numbers in the Congress, and they really blocked the Clinton administration from continuing the work that they needed to do in Haiti with the 20,000 Americans and all the other help that they wanted to provide to the Aristide government.
That's so, Brunet, are you saying that the United States has lost a considerable amount of credibility in Haiti? Because
I don't think the United States has any credibility in Haiti at all. As a matter of fact, I think the opposition, and to a very large extent, were funded by the Republican International something. There is this a group of Republican that funds international activities in the third world to sort of espouse the Republican ideology. And I think that that's where they get most of their funding.
John, what is this backing that Brunier's talking about?
Well, I don't know precisely what he's speaking of, but there certainly are forms of assistance that are given by the two party groups of the National Endowment for Democracy. There's the International Republican Institute and there's the National Democratic Institute. And I'm not aware that specific forms of assistance have been given to the opposition, but I'm not surprised. I think the real question here is not the one that Brunier is raising, although much of his analysis may be accurate, but it is what could we have done to have prevented this complete failure of trust in the United States in Haiti, and what could we have done to have headed off the catastrophe for the Aristide administration, and clearly Aristide has a huge responsibility himself. But two things we could have done, I think. First is to continue the commitment that was made in 94 beyond 95. And, of course, by then there was a Republican Congress which was pushing Clinton out. Second, when Aristide was reelected in 2000, there were certainly many flaws in the electoral process. But what happened then in the Bush administration was a starvation of Haiti, which was basically prevented from getting any assistance of any kind during, or most kinds anyway, except for humanitarian assistance, during the last 3 years. So Aristide had almost nothing to work with. He squandered his own opportunities, to be sure. But the crisis in Haiti very much was contributed to by this longstanding opposition to Aristide that we've seen in the United States.
But Robert, if I understand what you're saying that the very idea of democracy is so vapor thin in Haiti that there is no center there. People don't really know what to go back to when we talk about democracy.
Well, the problem, obviously, is that you have a society which is extremely polarized. You're talking about a situation where probably 5 to 10% of the population controls probably something like 70% of all the resources of the country. So that kind of social polarization invites a politics that is inevitably one that will pit groups against groups and that will lead to a search for some type of grab of power. So it's an extremely complicated system insofar as if you want to have democracy, you need to have a certain amount of compromises, you need to have a certain capacity to understand the other side. And this is really a very difficult thing to see in the current situation in Haiti. What you'll probably see, actually, I think, is the ever-shifting alliances between different groups. And eventually, if there is no real commitment on the part of the Haitian political class and the international community, a return to the old politics. And I think that what we have now is possibly the return of the old oligarchy with the military. And this is bad news also for Haiti. So the transition, the departure of Mr. Aristide has to some extent changed the political calculus, but it has not really transformed the situation in such a way that the deep-seated crisis of Haiti will be resolved.
You are listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. Our number is 1-800-423-8255 to Tico next, who's calling in from Dorchester, Massachusetts. Tico, thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm not trying to defend Aristide, but Aristide is not a Haitian problem. That problem, basics, like Mr. Falcon said, people in Haiti take politics, seem like an industry. That's the way they make money.
Yeah.
Okay. If you are ignorant, you can't be free. Haitian people are ignorant, and United States take advantage of the poverty and the ignorance, you know, to make them fight one another.
Are you saying, Tico, that that whenever the international community gets engaged with Haiti, it's really only talking to 5%, 10% of the country, that you have this 90, 85% of the country living in utter poverty, which is really left out of the conversation?
Yes, sir. That's right. That's right. And they don't try to do something for the nation. They try to do something for people who make deal with them. Okay.
Who's the they you're talking about? They try to make a deal with them. You're talking about the international community again?
Yes, the international community and those rich Haitians.
Okay, so give me a quick prescription of what needs to change to get past that.
You know what a Haitian nation need? They need a government, okay, who their financial is balanced. Okay, they have a financial balance. They don't need to get paid for the service. Okay, seem like, you know, and you can call it helping hand. But if anybody can seem like Aristide, when Aristide take your power, he have about $500 in a bank account. Now he's a millionaire, and people around Aristide can see how he make his money. The next one going to do the same.
Okay, but let me, if I can, Tico, turn to Robert Fetton here, because what Tico's describing here is a common view of politics in the developing world, that it's your chance to make some money. Now, that's not going to change anytime soon in Haiti, is it?
I don't think so. I think you need to have institutions that would curb that appetite. You see, one of the problems with de Lavalas' regime is that when it came to power, it really represented the lower classes, and most of the cadres of Lavalas came from the lower middle classes, people who really had to struggle. When you're in government, when you're confronted with the opposition, when you're confronted with the possibilities of coup, mm-hmm. there is a generalized pattern of fatigue that sets in, which invites the type of illicit acquisition of wealth that you've seen under Lavalas. And the tragedy of the Lavalas movement is that it really came as a fundamentally popular wave of hope in Haiti, and then it really squandered that hope because of the corruption of the regime, its incapacity to govern. And Mr. Aristide has a large fault in this thing, because Aristide never tolerated the emergence of autonomous popular centers of power. Whenever they emerged, he tried to crush them.
Let me turn to John here. Give me a practical example of the sort of thing that Robert's talking about, a way of curbing that appetite, a way of making a government that actually works for the people.
Well, above all, what's needed, and it's is a broad idea, obviously, and takes a lot of time to put in place, but is a system of law and a rule of law which will hold people accountable, including that 2% who control most things at the moment. And that is the big problem. There's nothing that really holds them accountable.
The laws don't exist, or the enforcement doesn't exist?
Well, the enforcement doesn't exist. And I've mentioned before, of course, that Aristide abolished the security forces, which had plagued the country in the past, to be sure, but then he's only reinstated in return some forces that are very, very obviously somewhat self-serving to him. So I think legal institutions and a variety of methods of putting them in place, of police forces and court systems, et cetera. But if we can do this, or pretend that we can do this, in other countries like Iraq, if we can't do this just off our own shores, working with Haitians who want to make a difference over a long period of time, we really shouldn't be talking about the promotion of democracy anywhere.
1-800-423-8255. Just what does need to be done in the short term, medium term, long term to ensure more stability in Haiti? What future do you see for democracy in that country? I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from NPR. I'm Dick Gordon. You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. What's it going to take to restore order in Haiti? 1-800-423-8255 to join us. Let's go to Boston. Mark's on the line. Mark, what do you think?
I think the best thing right now to do in this country to restore what we call stability in the country, so that we don't have this type of government anymore, is, first of all, this country need someone totally outside of what they call convergence or whatever. Someone totally outside. We can't come with the international community.
Wait a second here, Mark. You're not talking about bringing in a Paul Bremer type character, are you?
Not quite. I would say the Haitian was outside Haiti who really care for the country. Someone who the country can't rely on with the international forces to restore stability in Haiti. The problem is, it's not quietly Aristide or the convergence. The problem is Haitian itself. We Haitian, because we don't quite have the sense of democracy. Because for 35 years over the Duvalier, we never had democracy. We don't know what democracy. And a small country like Haiti will ever know democracy without all the Haitians together saying, okay, this is what we want for our country. We 200 years of independence. Sometimes I ask myself why we was independent. And then the way we took the independence from the French people, that was the beginning of our problem until today's day. So
Let me, Mark, ask Robert Fatton in here, because, I mean, what Mark is saying is that the laws aren't strong enough, or the people in Haiti don't believe them, that there aren't politicians or any political organizations that have the respect? I mean, does the Constitution itself stand for anything with the people there?
Well, it's a complicated issue because, as we've seen with the departure of Aristide, the Constitution, as a matter of fact, was not respected. And no one really respected the Constitution, whether you're talking about the Aristide government or the opposition. Everything has been done through extra-constitutional means. The departure of Aristide is, in fact, the result of an armed insurgency. It is not a voluntary departure. It's a fiction to say that it was a resignation that was voluntary. At the same time, when we look at the arming of the Chimère, that was also utterly unconstitutional. When you look at the opposition, which literally was given a veto power over the future of Haiti by the international community, that also is extra-constitutional.
Robert, let me just stop you there for half a second, because if there are people in Haiti this morning who are saying it's a good thing Aristide has gone, good for the United States in you know, helping his departure, in the long term, do you think that the United States is going to be criticized here for not backing Aristide at an earlier moment, for not providing him with the support that he might have required to run the country?
Well, I think Mr. Aristide was a very controversial figure. If you're on the liberal side of the political equation in the United States, you will say so. If you are on the more conservative side, you will say just the opposite, that Mr. Aristide should never have been tolerated to begin with. So I don't think those positions are going to change. What I do believe is that the departure of Mr. Aristide does not resolve anything in terms of the deep-seated crisis that you have in the country. And the problem that has happened in Haiti is that that deep-seated crisis has been personalized. So if Mr. Aristide goes, everything is resolved. That is really very naive and at best and cynical at worst.
All right, 1-800-423-8255. To Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts. Now Liz is on the line. Liz, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Dick, this is the best panel you've had on Haiti, and congratulations to Mr. Shattuck and Monsieur Fetto. I think some of the only two things I really haven't heard mentioned in the discussion here is the U.S. role in originally backing Raoul Cédras, who was one of Duvalier's generals, and overthrowing Aristide in 91. The return of Aristide was really forced on the government, and Clinton was in there at this time. And it was also a lot of pressure brought by Florida because of the exodus of Haitians to this country.
Liz, you worked in Haiti, right, recently?
Yes, I have.
So give me what you think we're missing here in terms of what it is needs to be done this time around that was messed up the last time.
Well, I think what has to be done is, first of all, that the United States government absolutely has to back a democratically elected president. Whether there are things about that president that they disagree with, being complicit in his overthrow is just carrying on the same. Well, it's another kind of coup, essentially. So I think that this time, the U.S., along with, but under the aegis of the United Nations, that's absolutely critical, has to be in there, I would say, for a minimum of 5 years and start essentially building institutions. Aristide himself...
By building institutions, Liz, do you mean simple stuff that we can understand, schools, paving roads, that sort of thing?
Or
do you mean
something? That kind of thing as well, but I'm really talking about the judicial system.
Right.
It's absolutely critical. A police force. I think Aristide was quite right, and as Mr. Shattuck said, courageous when he dissolved the army.
Mm-hmm.
Because this army had a history of brutality under Duvalier, who, of course, was supported by the United States. One of the things that did not happen when the U.S. went in there the last time with the U.N. is they did not disarm all the military. Those arms were never confiscated and have been used from that time up to this for periodic assassinations.
Liz, let me take the, if I can, the first part of what you were talking about and ask John to come in on this. And John, Liz is saying what a number of people have said directly or indirectly throughout the hour, and that is that the United States has credibility's taken a real beating with the holding off for the past few weeks, and then the, you know, the making a public announcement, it's time for Aristide to go. I mean, history's really going to be the judge of that. But at this point now, do the answers have to come from New York or from Washington? You know your way around both the UN and government circles. Does the UN need to be the lead agency here if anything's going to work?
Well, I think the U.S. is going to inevitably have to play a leadership role in this. The sad fact is that we haven't seen it do that over the last several years. It's basically been missing in action, and I think that's the problem, that one of the big problems that has been facing Aristide. But going forward, I think the U.S. is going to have to dig out of this very serious credibility problem that it has, having essentially facilitated the throwing out of a democratically flawed election president. And to do so, it's going to have to not only provide the means for the security working with the United Nations and the OAS, that is sending in additional troops beyond the 150, securing the facility of putting together a provisional government, and then providing the kind of assistance to a government that it withheld from Aristide on a long-term basis. I think starving democracy was a terrible idea, and that's basically what, to a large extent, we've done since about 2001. And I think we've played out the problems here that existed in the United States between a Republican Congress that took over in 1994, which basically pushed Clinton out of Haiti and thereby, you know, precipitated the crisis that we have now.
You're listening to The Connection from National Public Radio. 1-800-423-TALK. That's the number to join us. Brockton, Massachusetts. Paul's on the line. Paul, what do you think?
Well, I think that what we might have to do right now is using the international community on a long-term basis, because on two occasions, I believe there have been opportunities when the international community and the Haitian people were ready to do a new start and to rebuild, and both occasions have been missed, counting from 91, 94, when Aristide came back. I wonder if this is the last chance that this country has to grab the opportunity when the international community is ready now to embrace and help this country to come out of this hole that it has digged itself in.
Robert Feton, last chance, what do you think?
Well, I'm not sure if it's the last chance, but clearly this is an opportunity to try to get things right. But as I've said, if the contingent that has been sent represents in the commitment of the international community, then it's not a huge commitment. What you have to do to begin with is to send a larger contingent and disarm all the gangs and disarm the armed insurgents. And this is unlikely to happen if you have such a small contingent. And I don't think, and it may be too late to do so, especially vis-a-vis the armed insurgents.
Even if you send in 10,000 soldiers, the chances of disarming the people in that country are slim. People have lots of places where they can hide the weapons that they think they're going to use again in another 3 or 4 years, no?
Yes, but I think you can have an effective form of disarmament. The country is so poor that even people who have weapons might be prepared to disarm if you extend some rewards, financial rewards, to give their weapons. There has never been a real systematic, serious attempt to do so. And unless you do that, you're going to have gangs. Even if you have a police, the police will be besieged. The problem is really that when you are that poor and if you have a gun, well, that's a way out for you to steal. It's a simple reality. It's an unfortunate one, but it's the reality of the country.
And so going back to what Paul was asking, John Shattuck, is this our moment for Haiti? Is there a window now, or has the moment passed?
I think the moment is now, but I worry that it may be passing. And that is to say, I think the the grave danger of being trapped, the U.S., in its lack of credibility in Haiti, having been so unsupportive of the process of democracy really since about 1997 or 8, but I think has put us in a very, very difficult position. And I, you know, when I hear President Bush say we want to break from the past and give Haiti a chance to work, I fear that what we've now done in many respects is to risk going back to the past by allowing these armed gangs basically to take over all the Haitian cities and then sending in 150 troops. That is not what we claim we're doing in Iraq, and the lack of commitment to Haiti is so blatant when it comes to comparison with other places where we claim to be promoting democracy.
There is, though, institutional memory in the administration at the time when you were working with the Clinton administration, Colin Powell, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and involved in disarming to the extent that he could. The army was engaged in the Haitian problem back then. Do you take any comfort by the fact that he's largely in charge of this now, Secretary of State?
Well, I'd like to, and I think there is a possibility of doing the kind of disarming that we were talking about, Mr. Fatton was talking about, where you actually purchase the arms back, create an economic incentive for people to give up their arms. That was, in fact, tried, and there was some success with that in 1994 to 95, but then the withdrawal of assistance after that made it almost impossible for that kind of economic incentive to be there. That has been used in other countries. So there's every reason to get serious about disarming the gangs in Haiti, but we need to do it.
Mr. Fatton, I just have a few seconds left on the program. What is the one piece of advice that you would have for the U.S. administration at this point in terms of getting a grip on what the U.S. contribution ought to be right now?
Well, I think there has to be a long-term commitment. Otherwise, the crisis is going to happen again and again. And I think there is an opportunity now, because I assume that the people who are going to, the civil opposition, which will take power, is to a large degree an opposition that has very good relations with the United States. And to some extent, this is why they will assume power. So there is an opportunity. Let's hope that it's not squandered again.
Robert, thanks for being with us on the program today.
Thank you very much.
Robert Fatton is professor and chair of the Woodrow Wilson Department of Politics at the University of Virginia. John Shattuck, nice to have you in here again.
Thank you very much, Dick.
John's former Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor during the Clinton administration. Earlier in the program, we talked with Kathy Klarich, reporter and columnist for the Christian Science Monitor and Time magazine. We're also joined by Charles Baker, a businessman in Haiti and a member of Aristide's one of the Aristide opposition groups. Thanks to Sarah McConnell at the Virginia Foundation of the Humanities for technical assistance with today's program. I'm Dick Gordon. This is The Connection.